If it's only one garment, they'll be maker. Why? Because then there's a machloket whether it has to be all garments or only one garment. The Ramah says, right? So the power party position is even one garment, right? But if it's one garment on Purim or one garment in a play or one garment, to be sameach atah v'kalah, there the posts are willing to be more lenient. There I would say a lot many more posts are willing to be lenient, not about the site, but many other posts are willing. Yes.
Did I
say slacks? Did I mention the word pants in the whole introduction? I didn't. I was consciously very careful. I did not say male garments, female garments. Now we have to begin defining is slacks male garment or not. That's the issue now that we want to deal with. But we have to know what parameters we're working with in to see. So now, at the end of the last week, so let's go through it quickly. Reading from the Manchester Dayan, who was then head of Kenker Strolls, head of the Ada Chavetus. And he, okay, what says Yudal here, okay? It's actually the second page, first side. Which is not Yudal. I forgot to mention that not all, but many of the selections come from the book of Rabbi Getzel Ellenson, the book he wrote called Hatznei Alechet. It's a part of a three-volume series on the Elisha Balacha. It has been translated into English too, it's available. Any case, this is what on the issue of slacks, let's read quickly again what the rabbi says. Sheila, slacks. Shehen kamo mechnasayim, ava yeshkiluk v'otam shenasu b'myuchad l'nashim, shehen b'tzvayim shonim u'chadome. He says, we're talking about specifically slacks. Shehen l'nashim lovshim otam klal, Hayim Yesh Yasser. And then nowhere. These are clearly women's slacks. He's taking what would seemingly be the most lenient possibility, right? These are clearly, they're not even unisex. They're clearly women's slacks. Hayim Yesh Yasser is forbidden. Shuva. Ein din zet zarich poshesh. You don't have to hesitate slightly the possibility of something like that. Havei isu gamu. It's clearly forbidden. Chut mizeh bigdei shachatz. These garments are seductive. He's talking about the fact that the legs are split, if we're going to emphasize the buttocks, etc., etc. They're garments of promiscuity, seduction. Even if I were to admit that they're not a problem of a male garment, it is disgusting before Hashem. She says, but I don't even concede the first point. They're really klegever, he says. Shadayim shemich nasamalai, because they are slacks. And slacks traditionally are men's clothing, he says. Vagam shemish mean tzad, even if they're slightly different. Mikomakom shmamalayim, they're called slacks. Kamo shekatava beitzerim yen kova o beger hanikra minavok. Minavok or a garment that refers to a hat or a man's cloak, called a man's cloak. Shnibel le'inayim she'en ze ela l'damot ish. The only reason why they're wearing is to look like men. V'agam she'en meshunim tzavi shal ish. And even though they were slightly different than men's clothing, yikom makom shmo alav l'chein yileh she'asuk. Therefore, it's forbidden. Yes.
Didn't men used to wear like dresses?
Let me put it this way. As far as the Minchat Yitzchak is concerned, within the halachic memory of his generation, slacks were male. At some points, women started wearing slacks. But in the memory of the generation, of his generation, they were still male garments. It is very clear that women started wearing slacks, whether it was being styled to look more male, part of an egalitarian move that came with this, with the whole equality business, where women began dressing much more male. From his perspective, since they are slacks, and slacks within the memory of this generation are male garment, he feels it's forbidden.
But the issue of meals that he raised, aside from the issue of, part-time employees?
Of course not.
So why is that?
Who says it's, who says it's not discussed? Who says it's not discussed? It most definitely is discussed. Tight pants on men, okay, are problematic, clearly problematic. And the post will talk about it. If you want specific posts, talk about leotards. That is, ballet is not only halakhically problematic for women, it's halakhically problematic for men. Okay, now, the question is whether there's a relative concept of tzniut here as well. The answer, there might be. It's not trivial, but if you're asking me, do the post and talk about the answers, yes. So that's not an issue against him. And if you were to ask him, in fact, I've been reading, I subscribe to several discussion groups. One of them is called Avodah, which is discussion groups that is now talking about women's lives. One of the issues they're talking about. And in this discussion, I mean, on this discussion group, there are many well-known rabbis and Rosh Yeshiva who are there. And one of the issues discussed were that in the Haredi communities, one of the reasons why they wear long coats is to cover the slacks. That is, the idea that it's the only problem about women, no. In the Haredi movement, long garments were also part of the garb to also cover the slacks. So it's certainly for Yaakov Weiss, this is not cannot be an attack on his position, because he is equally problematic for men as well. Although it's more problematic because of the seductive issue. And in all these cases, there is no equality. It's not true that men are sexually aroused the same way women are sexually aroused the same way as men are, and therefore the halakha generally is more strict in these sort of general tznius considerations by women than it is by men. But come back to the point, yes, they do talk about rights of slacks of men, that's not. I don't know the date of it, but I'm sure it's written. It was written. I have no idea. I did not look at the original. I just kind of. I wouldn't be surprised if it was there within the last 20 years. 20, 30 years. Most of the tshuvas on slacks are written in the 50s. I wouldn't be surprised if the tshuva was written in the last 20 years. Most of the tshuvas revised are when you start really publishing your deal, to the best of my knowledge, the last 20 years. Okay, let's continue. We have not finished yet. Okay, so he holds this also because both the tzniut and the tilbash, very strict position. And let's now ask the question, mibat kama shanim matkil yisur, from what age does it begin? Vadai migia l'shanim sheshayach ba mitzad chinuch, as soon as she gets the age of chinuch, which could be 6, 7. Yesh, but certainly by the age of 9, yesh chiyuv l'chanech b'inyan zeh kamo b'chol ha-mitzvot. Ela av b'od lo migia l'chinuch, but even if she hasn't come to the age of chinuch, mikol makom asur l'svot la b'yadayim, since he holds the real Yisur d'oraita, says you can't even do it. I mean, if she puts on slacks herself, that's one thing. But you can't put it on her. You're dressing her in a low tilbash fashion, you're making her do an Isur. Come and wear up a poskim. The mitzvot yadayim is that you can't feed your child, okay? Suppose if you're infant, you can't feed your child tray food. Okay? Your child who's not yet gil chinuch, he takes tray food by themselves, that's a different issue. Okay? But it's not clear that you certainly cannot feed your child tray food. Especially since it causes a stumbling block for the masses, because it leads to leniencies that could lead to promiscuity and licentiousness. So what about is the problem of mechnasayim in the house? What would you answer? If it's a tznius problem, then it should not be. But if it's a low tilbash problem, of course it's usur. What does it make a difference if somebody's around? You cannot wear a low tilbash is usur. So that's exactly what he says. In yesh beisur b'mechasa b'bayit, b'zman sheshnu my nashim pshita shasur kamo b'shul. because of the tzniyus consideration. Ela af zman she'ein shem anashim, ela hi atzma beveita, mikom mekom overt al isur lo yeh kli gever, af she'ein ro'eh, yesh isur. No, they're saying, God says it, it's awesome. Raya mi'isha mavir se'er beit ha'shechi o beit ha'erva. We mentioned that at the time of the Gemara, it was forbidden to shave a male, to shave his pubic hair or his underarm, and nobody sees that. And yet it's still forbidden because it's considered a female act. V'dvarim tem l'bosh mechassayim l'tzor klisha. She wants to go skiing. She wants to go skiing and she's wearing a skirt. It's not appropriate, right? She'kashem l'glosh b'li mechassayim. V'gam im tipol yesh behem yitahol. Okay, should be a question like that. L'cha'ora, that's the question. Is it permissible? L'cha'ora, dabar zeh toli b'machloket ha'poskim imutaret l'visha l'agen b'fnei ha'chamor tzina. It would seem that even according to me, it should be mutter. L'chloket ha'poskim, he says ha'poskim who are machmir. The vast majority make them. He's setting up the issue because he's not even admit to this. So it would depend on the machlokes, the poskim. Aber l'achrei yun nireh sh'benidon ab b'mabush echad asur l'chol ha'dayot. Even by one malvish, it's also for everybody. What is the shach? Not only shach, the taz. When does shach and the taz permit you to wear a garment? Right? When you didn't, I mean, it's cold outside. You have a right to go outside. It's cold outside, or it's hot outside, or you need protection from the wind, from the rain. Then you're allowed to put on a garment. Who said that she should go skiing? I mean, it's a leisure activity. It's not a necessary activity. Who permitted her to go? Right? So she shouldn't go skiing. She shouldn't go into Yulim. I mean, it's go out to do what's necessary for a life, for a livelihood. That's considered in the area of necessary. But if not necessary, then he doesn't permit it. I said he was strict, right? Lo tiklosh v'lo tilbosh. Because she came, she was daily. So the right, so we're talking about Nisa. The right, no, technically, yes. Well, that would be an interesting question. If she needs a bicycle to go to work, right, and that's then he might be, that's a good point. He might be, well, knowing, based on what he said, he's, look.
It's,
yes. At all, you know the reason?
It's
not problem. I think there's a much more, there's a different problem. I think you're being late.
What about the boy?
Forgive me, I think it has to do with a problem of, how should I put this, deflowering. Problem of, seriously, I mean it very seriously. The problem of losing, loss of carrying the hymen or something of that nature, flowering, that's the problem.
That could happen in dancing, a little traveling.
Yes and no. If anybody wants to know why the ladies in all the movies in Britain always write side saddle.
Yes.
Let's move on. This is not the topic for this evening.
Well, wearing a skirt.
No, you would not permit that because it's not a tzniut issue. By it. That is a good solution if it's a tzniut issue. Right? So we're going to see that variation, but you have to understand if he holds the slope till bashim, which is the difference if it's underneath another six layers, practice your home, he would ask for pajamas too. You would ask the pajamas too. I'm telling you, Rav Blumenkranz in his book on the Targum Mishpacha asks his blubber and says, you can't. The rabbi says, no tilbash. It's my pants. Okay, now, the only problem is that he calls the slacks, and he says the slacks, shema shema aleha. I don't know how far back women started wearing pajamas. I don't know if pajamas came in with slacks, after slacks. I don't know. But I want you to know there are people who work on this problem. It's not a trivial problem. Not necessarily in the frum circles. These are people who catalog way people dressed in different periods. And there are books with pictures and figures, and they catalog them. you know, day work, night work. And they're very, it's very important for people who are putting on plays. If they want to do the play in the right period style, they want to know people more in the 1910s and the 1850s. You put on, right? If you put on an O'Connor play, you want to know what were they wearing at the time. So you want to do it, you know, Glass Menagerie, you want to know what in that period, what do they look like in that period?
And what about the
I mean,
I just want to make a hot one.
They're not called slacks. They're not called slacks. They're not called stockings.
Really long,
they're called stockings. I'm not a big expert on this. I have not done full study. You know, the Haredi world, if you go to BJJ, Beis Yaakov of Jerusalem, they have a study of book. There's a book that goes into details of what catalogs of garments and what you can wear and stuff like that. I haven't yet got my hands on the book. I'm still looking for it. But it's they really do. They study all these things. I think the tights are still okay. There's a big discussion on whether flesh color, opaque flesh color, okay. That's the big to do. All right. Next. Let's move on. Okay, let's now read the tshuva of the Avnei Tzedek. The Avnei Tzedek is actually cited by the Minchat Yitzhak, but you'll see when you read him inside, he's really much more lenient. Avnei Yitzhak? No, Avnei Yitzhak is stepped up. Okay. Okay, let's continue. Im shela imutal l'nashim levosh beged hanikran meknasayim b'chol v'bnei hatzina tachat hapgadim. She wore pants underneath clothing. Okay, notice they set up the question. That instead of her clothing, underneath her clothing. Tshuva, yesh l'smoch al dat habach v'hataz, shafil b'malbush ish mamash, im oseh l'agei m'pnei hatzina mutar. If you wear a male garment to protect you from the cold. Hashach lo asar elim lovash mamash b'gdei isha, at she'inu mikar shu ish. The shach was lenient to permit that you had to look like a woman, but the Other poskim said no, the one garment as long as it's a bona fide male garment. Udvaram mityachasim lo lovesh velo lebeged haynu b'middameh b'chol ha'malbushim. But when the shach says it's only usher when you wear all the garments of a woman, and then you act that only when you actually look like a woman, but abu lovesh beged echad, according to the shach, if you only wear one garment, you don't have any intention to look like a woman, that's perfectly all right. But that the mechnasayim tachet ha-begadim, afilu al ha-begadim, mutar. Kiven shesof sof nikar yedei shar ha-begadim she'isha, v'hi loveshet beged zeh b'pnei hatzina. So she's putting on slacks because it's cold, right, according to him. And this is still, we moved one level more lenient. But it's again, the heter here is because it's cold. A woman who wears slacks because she enjoys wearing slacks is not yet permissible, according to him. It's only permissible because it's cold. Masha katvut tosavot, shemutar l'stakel b'mar'eh, shelo yachbol b'atzmo hu adin b'malbush mamash. He says, you're allowed to look in the mirror, says, even a male's allowed to look in the mirror so that when he shaves himself or when he's cutting his hair, for instance, he shouldn't harm himself. And the same thing's true, you're allowed to wear garments not to harm yourself. So if you're wearing, you're going in a tiol and you wear a slack, you're wearing slack to protect yourself, that's perfectly permissible. Afilu dvarecha mutar lefi shachar chakira udrisha nodati shebebeged mechnasayim nikar shu shel isha velo shel ish shemeshune ze mize ikatate lemalyuta. There are 2 points if she's wearing a female slacks. Eino litamot, it's not to look like male. It's different than the male. She's wearing female slacks, so it's not to look like the males. And second of all, it's different than the males. Kfarnavu kach b'medida zo, u'bepoli en afilu nashim snod v'chasidot v'ein potzapet. In the cold weather, he says, even the frumi women wear slacks underneath their garments, it's perfectly all right. So you see, all right, we're now one level of leniency greater. He says, that it's clearly not a problem to look to the bash if you're wearing female slacks, and that's so. This clearly is a departure from the Minchat Yitzchak. Now let's see the Yaskil Avdi, Rabbi Avadi Adaya. Rabbi Avadi Adaya is a dayan in Yerushalayim. He who's a Sfardi guy in Yerushalayim, is he one of the high court justices in Jerusalem. Ein makom lasar elim hagever yulbash mechnesei isha hamishonim b'tzuratam mechnesei gever, v'chein l'isha asur lelbosh mechnesei gever hamishonim b'tzuratam mechnesei isha. אבל אם הם שווים בצורתם, אין מקום לאיסור. The first point he says is that if you wear unisex pants, right, if a woman wears unisex pants or men wear unisex pants, no problem. The only problem is if a woman wears male slacks and males wear female slacks. אולם, מטעם אחר יש לאסור משום שלבוש זה מכנסיים הוא לבוש פרוע פרוץ ואין מלבוש צנוע. So he says, the slacks, the lo tilbash problem, is a no start. Okay? He says, lo tilbash is a no start. He says there is, however, from his view, a tzniut consideration. Mikivan sha'raglayim chalukot achat mi'ashmiya ad lamala, because the legs are slit all the way to the top, separated. V'zeh mevi lidei yehul u'mistakel li'itim gam lidei ni'uf. And he says, therefore, it is more seductive. הרי לדאבוננו אין גדר בין בחורים ובחורות. He says, unfortunately, in our generation, we're an open society, there's no division between male and female. כולם מורבים יחד בין בעבודה ובבית הספר, they're all mixed, whether it's at work or at school. ואין אפוטרופוס לראיה. This is a famous statement in the Gemara, which means we don't trust anybody when it comes to sex. אין אפוטרופוס, there's no guardianship, right? So we don't trust anybody, okay, when it comes to arayot, which means you have to be especially careful. Because of this tzniut consideration, one should be careful. Kol ish hayarei v'charei l'dvar Hashem, alav lizaher l'shmo avnotav, shelo yetzu b'malbushim keilo. Anybody who's fear is God-fearing should prevent his daughters from wearing these type of garments. Mis tachsrich, this is a... It's like a thread leading out from, this is actually from a Tarfus consideration, where you have lesions of the lung, and they're like threads of tissue hanging out from the lungs. I didn't mean to get into the gory details, but that's where the expression comes from. Sort of like, we would say it's like a thread hanging down from the garment. Misach sarich shal iso erva. It sort of leads, it's a hanging on to from the erva. So you see, again, and I would say that this sort of position is very much of the mainstream position of most of the modern day schools, the Akiva school. The local bash is not a problem, but it is a clear problem. Now, let me just bring something to your attention. One could argue this very same thing that he just argued now two ways. One could argue, look, you know, this is an open society and there are no limits and therefore we have to be more careful, and therefore, even though it's not usur because of lo tilbash, there's a tzniut problem and therefore you gotta be careful. This is how we argue. One could equally argue, we live in an open society. Men and women are used to each other. It doesn't bother them anymore. Unless we're talking about particularly seductive slacks. Unless you're talking about pants that are really skin tight, that quote unquote look good. You know, unless you're talking about something that is meant to be seductive, if they're loose fitting slacks, just because, you know, everybody's used to it nowadays. It's not, the slacks per se doesn't present a problem. Okay? Now, this type of argument is based on machloket of the achronim. How do you relate to an open society? How do you relate to the fact that men and women are you know, mixed together all the time? Let me just give you a classic example of how this appears. And there was a very interesting article by Rabbi Yehuda Herzl Henkin maybe when we talk about mechitza, I'll bring it in. But it deals with the question of how to handle an open society. It relates to co-education. It relates to a variety of issues about where we're talking about tzniut in men and women mixing together, how we're supposed to relate to them. It's just an example that on certain of these type of issues, there is a concept of relative tzniut. And the fact that we're used to something makes it less problematic. If you look in the discussion of the Sheva Brachot, okay, there is a view of the Maharshal and many of the other poskim of the 50 period around the 1400s, that if you say, actually, practically, I think going back to the Sefer Chassidim, that where men and women are sitting together in the Chasana, you know that the Chasana, before you start Brachot, you say, Baruch Elokeinu, Shasimcha b'mono, v'sha'achamu mishalo, that God is rejoicing in his dwelling. And not only are we rejoicing on earth, but Shasimcha b'mono, God, where his dwelling, is also rejoicing with us. So the post of men and women are sitting together, that leads to licentiousness, God can't be happy. And you can't say Shasimcha b'mono. Here's the box, The Levush, who writes on this halacha, he says, nowadays, and I actually quoted the book before, but you'll see when I use the word, you'll remember that you heard me say it. Levush says, nowadays, that we're used to having the women amongst us, they're like a kvake chiyula. Remember that? White geese. Which means, they're beautiful birds. They're not sexually distracting for us. I mean, we're used to women. They're not sexually distracting. You can say Shasimcha. God's happy. I mean, it's not a question of... So you see, what is the Levush saying? The Levush is saying, and this is essentially what we would call the modern Orthodox approach, is based on this Levush. And Rav Henkin goes to great length to discuss how it's applied in various... And actually, there's a machloket down the line based on whether you say Simcha B'mono or you don't say Simcha B'mono. Is God happy or God not happy? Okay, and how do we relate with an open society? Now, this particular issue can lead in a variety of issues, and it comes down to this issue as well. Do we say that the fact that women are wearing slacks, okay, we're an open society, that we have to be more strict, or maybe we have to be less strict, or maybe we have to be selective on certain things, we have to be more strict, certainly we're less strict, but it's not just because we have an open society that we have to be more strict. Okay. And you can argue certain things two different ways, and both be legitimate. There's logic on both sides. Okay, so that would be Yaskel Avdi. Let's turn the page. Okay, now there's a long footnote, 138. Okay, you see that? From Rav Ellenson. Just to save time, I'm going to read to you, so I don't have to read Hebrew and then translate it. I want to read you this footnote here. This is Rav Ellenson. This is Rav Ellenson speaking. Now, Rav Ellenson is the main Rav Ellenson Zal. Unfortunately, he was a wonderful, wonderful human being. He lived in Petah Tikva. He went down. He was invited. He went down to Eilat to give a shir in the Kovel of Eilat, and he had a few hours free. He was riding a bicycle, and some kid, 16-year-old kid, stole a car. Anyway, so Rav Ellenson writes in this volume as follows. And you can follow in Hebrew if you want to. Yaskel Avdi ultimately rejects trousers, that's what we just read, because the way they are cut accentuates the leg and various other parts of the body. That's the problem of lo yilbash. The problem is not lo yilbash, but in modesty. Okay? Now comes his commentary. We might note that this problem is not unique to trousers, and he should have included a warning against any tight-fitting garment. Moreover, his complaint about immodesty opens the issue of subjective considerations. Some view every accentuation of a woman's femininity as a blow to modesty. Others see nothing wrong with it as long as it is not exaggerated. In any event, we may distinguish between tight and loose-fitting trousers. Avnei Tzedek saw nothing immodest about the latter, which is loose-fitting trousers. Yabia Omer makes such a distinction as well. We'll read it in a second. Another factor that must be taken into account, however, is the existence of a community of modest Jewish girls with their own standard. The fact that they are careful to wear only skirts affords significant weight to this stricture. By wearing a skirt, a Jewish girl identifies with this group and separates herself from other more permissive circles. Now what he's talking about is a third consideration that we haven't talked about, and that is what's called the uniform concept. Religious women dressing more modestly or taking a more stringent stance than the halakha requires because it's their form of identification. Let me finish the comment, and you'll see it says explicitly. To a certain extent, in the last few decades, the skirt has become a sort of a yarmulke, kippah, for the scrupulous observant girl, who strives to follow our sages' ethical guidelines as reflected in their halakhic rulings. By refusal to wear trousers, she demonstrably declares that she is unwilling to resign herself to the dictates of modern style, and that she takes exception to the immorality so rampant these days in the society at large. For the modest young woman who comes into contact with that society in the context of her daily work or study, this last factor has special import. Such girls, I will say women, she's not politically correct, such women surely need a constant reminder that they do not identify with the values and lifestyles of their surroundings. My daughter once scored this point, saying, even if it could be proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that there is nothing wrong with wearing trousers, I will still continue to employ them. Now, the point that he's raising now, and he jumps off from the Eskilabdi, is that even if we could solve the Lotel Brush problem, and even if you're willing to admit that loose-fitting pants, as the Avnei Tzedek seems to suggest, is not a problem because it doesn't accentuate certain parts of the body. Nevertheless, there's a uniform. I remember reading a discussion in the commentary, which is the YU magazine, by a Stern girl who made this very, very point, Stern woman, who made this very, very point that for her, tzniut is very much of a way of identifying that she can be identified as having these set of values. It's very, again, as he puts it, very much like the kippah. If you're a kippah sluga, you have one set of values. Yeah, it's meant if you have a medium. If you have a large kippah sluga, then you're probably more chardal, you know, charedi lumi. If you wear a black small kippah, you're probably yeshivish. If it's a gray hat, it's chavetz chaim. If it's a black hat, it's more yeshivish. Okay, these are part of uniforms that people wear, and for tzniut has become, in very many ways, when you think about it, it's very true, that tzniut, a woman in her 20s, wants to marry a Hesder boy, right? If she wears slacks, even though it's perfectly winter, she communicates certain, it may not be true and it may be unfortunate, but unfortunately these are pertinences, she's not wearing the right uniform. By the way, the post deal with uniforms, really, I mean it seriously, I mean, I forgot to mention a police uniform, an army uniform, something like that, that's not a problem. Uniforms to identify with a particular body is not considered the male or female. Yes, I'm sorry.
I think it's very problematic that people are being judged by what they wear rather than what they do and what their personality is like. For example, someone say, oh, you can't be religious because you're wearing trousers or something.
I agree with you, but then somebody said, you can't be from, you're wearing a kippah sluga, not wearing a hat. So I go, then I go prove to him that I'm wearing a hat and davening is usher. He doesn't care. I'm not wearing the uniform.
But here you have a rabbi perpetrating
that. No, I think he's very honest. He's very honest. He said it's the only uniform on the country. He's saying that that's in the modern society is a very low consideration. Okay, let's. Is it Minig Israel? He doesn't push it that far.
It's more this is the position. In America, slacks are more accepted amongst Orthodox. It depends. Can I tell an anecdote that ties it directly? My sister was dating when she was involved in the Middle East. She's happily married, I must add. She said that there were gentlemen that she liked, but she wasn't sure that her religious philosophy dovetailed with them, and she liked them, but she figured they weren't for her, so the second day she would wear pants, and that was the settlement situation.
All right. Ain't believe me. Okay, let's go on Yabia over. Rabbi Yosef. Okay, Rabbi Yosef is certainly well ensconced in the right wing of the religious world. Ain't believe me. Shot the Messiah, Mabirah, Azara, Lo Yek, the Giver, Ali Shah. No, Rabbi Yaakov Weiss. No problem. Disagrees with me. והמוכיח מריקש והמאפוסקים שלא נשא לאישה אלא מבוש המיוחד לגבר. He must make a particularly male garment. אבל מבוש את צורתו שווה הן לנשים, והן לנשים מותר לכולם. You know what he's done? He said in the modern period, pants per se, is a unisex garment. Unisex garment. What are you going to argue? What are you going to argue, so he says? So you argue, Weiss, you argue it's a male garment. He said, but Yaakov Weiss admits, he said Yaakov Weiss admits that women are wearing it. So all that's happened is what is converted to unisex garments. Unisex garments, women, men and women can wear it. See, he's right. It's a very clever approach. Even admit it stays a male garment. Yes, male stays a male garment. But it's now it's also a woman's garment. Now, so it's now a unisex garment. That's even if we admit it, that it was a one-time male garment. That's how he wants to approach it. The chain is kimum of a teinu ke'achoni. Kibin shnit pashet ha-minag b'nei nashim b'li bishat nefasayim ke'ele. Lo shayat b'zeh lo tasa. Lo yek li geber b'zeh lo tasa. The negative prohibition of lo yek li geber ha-bisha. He says you can't prohibit it because of lo tovash. Now point two. Kol shekein mechnesayim ele shetzuvatam mishunem mechnesayim dvarim. וגם עשויים ממיני צבעונים שאין אנשים רגילים ללבוש. Certainly if the men are, the garments are cut differently, if they have different colors, different shapes, and certainly שאין אנשים רגילים ללבוש כדוגמתם כלל, if the men don't wear those garments at all, certainly there's no halacha problem whatsoever בלום תלבש. גימל, third, point three. הלבשות נכנסים לגי מפני הצינה ובני החמה, ואין מתכוונות לדמות לאנשים, ודאי שיש להם מה שיש להם. They wear garments, even they wear male garments, to protect them from the cold and from the sun, that they certainly have a problem with shtrui lai. ושאלה את התשובות אבני צדק, יתיר לבישת נכנסיים לאישה, כשעשויים להגן את מי הצינה. אבני צדק, the cold is perfectly permitted. בכל טעם בפני עצמו יש בכתב על each of these three reasons, unisex, second is their female pants, third to, even if they're male but you're wearing for the cold, each garment, each reason alone should be enough to prohibit, okay? Mikol makol, comes the big H. However, mikol makol modeh ani she'ein latir lechatkila levishat mechasayim ela lebanot, ela lebanot, you should not permit these garments lechatkila, and under a normative situation for women, ki bigdei shachatzeim umorim tzumat lev miyuchedet lo ro'eihem, because they accentuate the buttocks, they accentuate the split in the leg. He says they attract attention more than dresses do. Yotel me'asher simla o chatzait migila, whether it's a dress or a skirt, umiviyot bidei avrim uvahim, it causes distraction. Ve'en levnot yisrael akshirot lelechet behem klal, kosher Jewish woman shouldn't wear them. ובפרט למכנסיים המודקים על הגוף ממש, certainly ישראל, therefore theory, if there are tightening slacks, שגורמות הסתכלות ויורים רעים ביתר זה, they certainly cause a distraction. Okay? So again, he's gone through the whole thing, so he goes through the whole thing, but he says, it's needs consideration presents the problem. And by the way, Tazan, we're getting late, he says that slacks are far preferable for many skirts. Okay, just in case you were worried, that's me something. That if it's a choice, slacks. What is that, slacks? Okay. Now, I want to read a couple more sources, but before we go, I want to read you a couple of testimonies that were gathered the Chazon Ish and Rav Bar Shaul said that that the girls or they go on Tehillim, or they said that the girls should wear skirts under their dresses. Or slacks underneath their dresses. Or to wear, other suggestions to wear the shirt out. To wear a long shirt out. What? Over the slacks. So she wears slacks, but wear long shirts. Right over the cover of the buttocks. And Rav Moshe Tendler said as follows. He was asked the problem with slacks, and Rav Moshe Tendler said, there's no problem with slacks designed specifically for women. Slacks which are known as men's slacks, even if wearing them is publicly accepted, may be usur, because they're known as men's slacks. Unisex clothing sold in both men's and women's stores may be halachically all right. According to the Chinuch, it's a problem. We read that it's against spiritual law because the Chinuch was the one who said you have to maintain sexual identities. Now, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein says as follows. even for a woman to wear men's slacks, bisman hazeh, would be mutter, since this is the accepted custom, and manufacturers, when they make men's slacks, know that women as well will wear them. There's no such thing, he says, that men's slacks anymore. He says, you go into the men's department, and you'll find women buying men's slacks. Again, men's slacks are also fitted in different shapes and different numbers, 525, 535. Anyway, and women will go in and buy them, usually because men's slacks are cheaper than men's slacks. It's not uncommon to find men's pants in some women's wear clothing. The same svara would apply, he says, to women wearing men's shirts, daddy shirts. And these are shirts not meant specifically for males. Women wear them too nowadays. The only problem would arise if the slacks are too tight. It would be maybe that they would cause distraction. However, the same problem would hold true for any tight garment like tight sweater. So that's a general problem. It's not a problem that you need to fix. Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik said as follows: if a girl wears slacks in order to attract attention to look sexy, then it's usher. However, if it's cold and she doesn't wear slacks, she's a fool. Okay, we're on this page, okay? It has this quotation on the top. Okay, let's look over here, Lamed Chet, okay? We'll close with Rabbi Arlitz a little bit longer, but I just want to read you what, these are from a collection of Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin. Okay, was the grandson of Rabbi Elia Henkin, who was considered one of the major post-game in the war years, around the period of World War II. And he studied for several years, a period of 5-7 years, with his grandfather, and recorded a variety of issues of his grandfather discussing his grandfather. Let's look at Lamed Chet. Okay. Sha'alti oto zeket tzadik l'chai olam haba im mutam l'isha l'bosh mechnesayim v'heshib li she'im ha-mechnesayim, okay, now we're talking about the 50s, she'im ha-mechnesayim refuyim ve'enam hudakim udvukim la'aguf eino ra'e b'ze shum isu v'ad ha-rabba yesh bo mishum tzniyot. He says, the whole body's covered. That's wunderbar. Right? It's better. Aval im hem mehudakim udvukim laguf ein lebosh otam. Im chashav ze haofen hasheni liisur gamur or rak ledavar sheino raui lasot ledavoni harav lo yaradi lasot. I don't know whether he really felt it was really usur or really it wasn't proper. I didn't ask him details. But you can clearly see that according to him, for a woman to wear a sweatsuit or wear loose spring slacks or something like that, we're talking, he felt there was no problem. Now, I just want to make it clear, if Elia Henkin is his name in the yeshiva world is said with tremendous, tremendous veneration. He was considered of top level of stature of Gdolei HaPosuk. And he clearly is a very strong position under which to be macho women to wear slacks. Okay, let's now read Tzniut. This is from a book that's called Isha B'Chinucha. It was edited by Ben Zion Rosenfeld, and it dealt with a whole bunch of educational issues. There was an interview here with Rav Aaron Lichtenstein about Tzniut. It's from a 4 or 5 page article. I just wanted, let's read what he has to say. בתחום הצניות יש לנו בעיות פורמליות ומעשיות. There's some formal and in the question of צניות, there are some formal and practical problems. ויש לנו שאלות יותר חינוכיות, and there are problems that are more educational in nature. אשר מבעיות הפורמליות השייכות למישור הפסיקה התורה, the formal issues, which deal with passing us or mutter. יש לדון בהן לאור פרטי המקרה והנסיבות, you have to take judge each case by its, you know, the cases, what are the circumstances. אם מתעוררת, we're the third line there. אם מתעוררת לדוגמה שאלה לגבי הליכה לסרטים ותיאטרון, of course, question of going to the movies, going to the theater, כשוודאי עלול להיות כאן איסור לאור העובדה שהיום נפרצו כל הסחרים בתחומים אלו. There's a question, you know, when you go to the theater, you go to the movies, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problematic period. Because you know that nowadays, you don't have all these, all the dams have been broken. He says there's no even good theater or good movie without some sex or pornography or some problematic scene. והדברים האינטימיים ביותר מוצגים בריש גלי, and even most intimate issues are discussed in public, you know, with no hesitation. קשה להתייחס אליה בלי לדעת איזה סוג הצגה מדובר. This depends on it. It depends on the show that's talking about. ומה מניע אליך? Where are you going? No, he didn't say it was awesome. It's very interesting. He said, you know, there's going to be some problematic scene. So he said, you come to Bama, he said, you close your eyes. Then he said, he didn't go ahead and say you would draw totally from culture because there are problems in certain things. As mature adults, we have to know how to deal with these situations. So you get to that problematic scene, you close your eyes. Okay. And I go with, I have mentioned before that I go with my wife Esther, eyes up. That's how we do it, because otherwise you could be back. Okay, it depends on the movie. If the movie's a good movie, right? It's a wonderful, redeeming movie, but it has one problematic scene. So deal with that one problematic scene. קשה להתייחס אליו בלי לדעת, okay, על איזה סוג הצגה מדובר, ומה מניע הליכה, whatever. וכאן בכל מיני דברים לגבי שאלות שהן יסודות חינוכיות, משום שבנושא עצמיות לא רק הבעיה הקונקרטית חשובה, it's not only the concrete issue that's involved, אלא גם מה שעומד מאחורינו, what's behind it, what's the motivation, what's the situation, כל מיני לקראת מה אנחנו רוצים לחנך את הבעיה. You can break things down in us or mutter, but we have to also know what is the direction in which we want to educate our daughters. למשל, בעיית המכנסה, let's talk about slacks. נניח שמבחינה הלכתית תורה אפשר להגיע למסקנה שהיום יש מכנסיים מיוחדים לבנות, that's given that we can solve the technical problem. There are some slacks that are unique for women, וזה הפך, הפך להיות רווח בין אנשים, and women wear it, it's a commonplace, כך שאין איסור שלא ילבש. There's no problem with all ילבש. That's given that fact. אבל בכל זאת ישנה מגמה מסוימת מאחורי כל הרצון של לבישת מכנסיים, there can be some motivation behind wearing slacks, וזו כבר שאלה ערכית, that becomes already a value call. מאחורי כל זה עומד מגמה של טשטוש השוני בין גברים לנשים. It says, behind it there can be an element of blurring the differences between male and female. כפי שמקביל מסתמנת אצל הרבה גברים אופנת לבוש ותסרוגית יותר נשים, as you see among male, to wear appurtenances and hairstyles which are much more feminine. Now that bothers him. Just the blurring of sexual roles bothers him. He says, essentially, we saw that lo yilbash. It's not just a question of licentiousness. We saw the chinuch says, the chinuch has a problem with unisex clothing because of it, he feels that it's blurry of the sexual roles. דבר זה עומד בסתירה מסוימת לרוח היהדות. To some extent, he says, this type of movement runs counter to the spirit of Judaism. אבל לא הייתי בא ואומר שזה אסור. I don't come along and say it's אסור. So I just give you a feeling of where I feel Judaism is headed. Okay? And I said, clearly, you could argue. You can argue that slacks is not is not an issue which causes blurring, especially this uniquely female slacks, it's a uniquely female garment. One could well argue that there's not a blurring, okay? So he says, I can't tell you it's usher, I can just tell you it bothers me. Yesh dvarim shani munyan la'odeid otam. There are things that I want as an educator, I want to encourage. Ulefech yesh dvarim shani rotzo letzamtzem u'mitnagid lahem. There are certain things that I'm more interested as an educator to limit them and object to them. Ela shelo b'chol tavar efshar la'agid mutar asur chad mashmi'. But not at everything can I go ahead and say that it's mutar asur. Yesh tumim shehen dvar reshut. There are certain areas which are in the optional area. Kolmar she'ein lehem din halacha bruha. There's no clear legislation, halacha legislation. Af shevadai in the dvar reshut lechalutim. It's not clearly, there's no such thing as completely out of the purview of halacha. Ki ilu hayu tumim neitralim she'ein la'yadut ma'amamamen. As if there are neutral areas where Judaism has nothing to say about them. אני מקבל את תפיסת הרמב״ם רבינו בחיי שאין כמעט תחומים ניטרליים שאין הם קשורים להלכה. There is no such thing as purely neutral areas. I accept the position of the Rambam Rebbe Chaya that everything is somehow covered either by a specific ordinance or by the general mitzvot, which give us a vision. The general mitzvot are like, after Rechamoch, Kedoshim Tiyu, Ayuliyam, Skula, these are general vasita yashar v'atov, tzedek tzedek tildof. There are already of general mitzvot klaliyot, which cover the gray area of halacha, where halacha does not have a specific do this or don't do this. Okay, he admits that there are other rishonim who hold no, there are areas that are totally neutral. But he says, I subscribe to the view of the Rebbe Chaya and the Rambam, that there is no such thing. Everything man does has meaning, and the halacha has something to say about it. Now, two paragraphs before that. Tchum halavush, utchum shiyesh lo mashmaut simlit rabba, the way one dresses has symbolic meaning, lachem hu mod rgish, therefore it is very sensitive, right? And we all know this, and sometimes people say it's unfortunate, but a slav who comes to a job interview won't get a job, unless it's to be a garbage man. And even for that, people come in ties and jackets. You want to make an impression, you're a responsible person. So you say, well, is it the guy's fault? He has no clothing. He looks that way, he has no clothing. He's a wonderful human being. Sorry, clothing has symbolism. Right? Uniforms are based on that concept, that clothing is a form of identification. צריך להיות מודע להיבט סמלי זה מצד אחד, אך מצד השני לא צריך להפריז בדבר. So on the other hand, you shouldn't exaggerate it. It's not the end all be all of existence. ולא להפוך את כל מוסד הצניות לענייני לבוש, ובוודאי לא רק לבוש בנות. And he's aware, and he's making up, he says, and I'm afraid, you know, I very often talk to my daughters who went to very decent, Bnei Akiva high schools, they talk about it. It's new. And that was the end all and be all of Judaism. Isn't that right? That's what Rav Lefkosid says. It's not the end all and be all of Judaism. Mosad Tzniut hu shavashi v'amok v'yadot. Tzniut is a very deep and rooted concept in Judaism. Kshatzuk chazal ta'er adam amru alav shehu tzanua. When they talked about a special human being, they said, he was a modest individual. Anav, a humble. Ze haya musag, he said, it was a fundamental concept. Va'anu chot'im ledaber kshanu metzamtzamim tatzniut lekama sentimentum shel anav. It says, we sing when we distill all of tzniut down to a few centimeters of cotton. נאמר ועצני הלכת עם השם אלוקיך, עם אלוקיך. Walk modestly with God. צריך לבנות את מושג הצניות על כל הכיפור. We're still talking about humility and honesty, right? In front of God, and it's a general concept. צריך להסביר כיצד ענייני לבוש והופעה אישית משתפים זה בזה. How one's garment and one's public demeanor mixed together. ואז אפשר להגיע להבנת הנושא. Then we can get a better idea of צניות in particular. אסור למקד את כל היראת שמיים בצניעות רק בבוש. when we talk about tzniut, it's not just what I wear. It's an attitude. And that's where it's important. Yesh lo pachot itz niyu kishadam choseh et kol nifkei libo b'mshut ha-rabim. Okay, when it says when a person reveals all his guts in public, when he talks about himself and opens himself up completely to the public, that's also not tzniut. It is everything that's inside of him becomes public knowledge. That's also not tzniut. Me'asher kasher adam mitpashet evam. Just as one physically exposes himself. So he says the person exposing yourself is also not healthy, not proper. Yesh gam erom ha-nefesh. Gam hu omed b'stila. That's the effect. It's also the being your soul is being on guard.
What about group therapy? Here, you know, where the purpose is to do just the
group therapy, I don't think is if you make group therapy in front of hundreds, it's a problem.
No, but I was
hoping,
I don't know.
Whatever. To give you an example, I just was listening on the radio yesterday, and I was driving to Texas, I couldn't turn it off. And this woman was undergoing a divorce, and this woman on the radio, in this talk show, was crossing, talking and interviewing her about her personal problems and what she was going through. And you know, keep pressuring her to tell the truth, you know, let it all out, to explain what was going on. And there's thousands of people. I don't know how many people listening to this show. I know it was just, it didn't solve any problem. It was just bearing of the soul and bearing one's life. It was an indecent exposure in a very real sense. Those who try to, I will make it very clear that those who talk about women's prayer groups and women, you know, Gila readings, all that stuff, invoke it all the time. They use it. They use a different term. They talk about kavod ha'melach panima. They use different keywords. But essentially, what you're saying, they're saying, you know, a woman's role is a more private role, a man's role is a more public role. And there may be truth in that. I mean, it may be a traditional perspective. But it's also very clear that the other side says that from the bush, right? From the bush says that things, that new changes, that what you're dealing with open society, what's problematic now, maybe not. There is a concept of relative tzniut. It's very clear that Shaul Yisraeli says the kavod ha'melach panima is a very relative concept. It's true, in the time of the Rambam, women didn't go out to work. Nowadays, Kohenik's wife, you can't be a Kohenik without your wife working. Right? And it means working in the garment industry and working in the jewelry business and working as teachers and working in all sorts of very mixed societies. So, I should point out to you, does anybody see the movie The Stranger Amongst Us? There's something there that struck me. I mean, it's a very sensitive movie. If you haven't seen it, it's a wonderful, wonderful movie about crime within the Haredi community. And it was one of the movies, I forget what the actress was. It did not make it big, but if you have a chance to see it, it's just such a sensitive, sensitive movie. A little Hollywood, you notice when he walked, when one of the sisters, the girl, is working in the store, you notice though that all the males around her were family members. That is the concept of you're working in an open society, but there's always mishpacha around. So they're very sensitive to it. It's not as if, and it's this is the kavanat tefillah. It's not. This is even if they're going to put the woman into a more open society. Still very protected. It's still very in a guarded fashion. Okay. I think that what we'll do is stop here. The last part has to do with more Kli Gever dealing with women holding neshek, it's related more to the issue of women and the army. I think that it can be very clear to you that this is whether neshek is male garb or female garb depends what's acceptable in society, right? If you hold that Klei Zion, that armaments can become female depending on the period, then it should be permissible. Okay?
It's for protection, or isn't it for safety protection?
Okay.
Or why is it either women's or men?
All right. Let me put it this way. If it's for protection, there's no question. Why is it if for protection is no problem? Because just as a woman can wear pants, male pants, to protect her from the cold, she can wear a male gun to protect her from the enemy. That's not a low. So using gamut, and you could also say, you know, you can pick up the gun to train, so that if it's necessary, you're in the shtachim, you need it. But in many situations, certainly when you go to basic training, you wear that gun next to you, you live with that gun, you sleep with the gun, literally, day in and day out, and you're trying to take the gun away from you, but no. Okay, I don't see very many heads nodding, because you obviously did not do basic training. But I did do basic training, and those who did know that I'm telling was true.
That's as so, much for your protection as...
yeah, okay. The question is, very often officers wear guns as a sign of position more, they wear pistols as a sign of position more than they wear it is for their self-protection, walking around the base with guards on all sides. You don't need your pistol. I mean, that's not the reason, by the way. Okay, so that's, you know what, we still have a few minutes. Let's go through it quickly, we'll see, because this is really good. האם מותר לבנות להחזיק נשק בנסיבות מסוימות? זו שאלה הלכתית כפולה. כלי גבר, האם הפריטים המוגדרים כך יכולים להשתנות מתקופה לתקופה מחברה לחברה? כלי גבר, the issue of לא תלבש, does that change from society to society? Second issue is נשק. האם הוא בכלל כלי גבר שיכול להשתנות כנאמר לאל, או נשק נשאר תמיד נשק ותמיד יהיה אסור ויש תפיסה כזאת? There is, remember we learned Lo Tilbash, we saw in the Targum Onkelos. The Targum Onkelos said, what is Lo, that a woman should not wear a male furnish? She shouldn't wear neshek. Now according to that approach, that's what the Torah means, that a woman shouldn't wear klei geber. The Torah is specifically prohibiting women wearing klei zayin. According to that approach, if we hold like that, that's not clear what we do. That one of the lockings in the Targum Onkelos, we don't hold like. But according to that view, one could see that the Torah is specifically forbidding klei neshek. One could argue that. Yeah, you could also argue the Torah is really an example of what the Torah is forbidding. Okay. But if we don't accept that neshek is specifically prohibited, even armies can change. צריך לבדוק את המציאות, לראות האם במציאות החזקת נשק הפכה להיות דבר רווח גם בין נשים ואינה אופיינית רק לגבי. אתה פונן, whether wearing guns is a typical male thing or women do it as well. ובאיזה מידה זה אופייני גם לנשים, whether women do so. לאחר מכן נשארת הבעיה ההלכתית, מה הקריטריונים ההלכתיים, מתי לפי הלכת תופעה פוסקת להיות בלעדית למין מסוים, when is it specifically a male, when is it stopping specifically male, והופך להיות שייך או לשני מיום, it becomes unisex garment. יש גם שאלה נוספת, there's another question. By the way, this is a continuation of Rabbi Lichtenstein. I want you to know, Rabbi Lichtenstein waffles a lot. He waffles not because he doesn't know how to pass it. He waffles because he realizes the issues are complex. He doesn't want to say it's also doesn't say mutter because he wants you to ask me a specific shayla on a specific woman in a specific situation. He can't give cartouches. It's not that he doesn't have a backbone. Okay? Just to tell you, I mean, he paskined whether my mother should be put on a life support system or not put on a life support system. Now that's a gutsy question. Okay? He was there. He read the EKG. Okay? He read the EEG, I should say. He made the decision. Whether she, now that's a gutsy question. Now there's a man who can pass it on life in death situations. So he's not waffling here because he doesn't know how to pass it. Doesn't want to pass it. Because he feels it's not clear cut. For him there's a large gray area. And you have to pass it on. Okay, let's continue next part. Yesh gam shela nosefet ve'eza mida klei geber kashuv bofa aishi bevad o shema gam b'shimush b'kelim mesuyamim. אני נוטה לחשוב שהאיסור הוא בדברים ששייכים להופעה. כלומר, ביגוד, שיער, שימוש בראי, אלה דברים שמופיעים בגמרא ושייכים להופעה אישית. שימוש בכלי זה לא כלול באיסור. He says that wearing a garment deals with sexual identity. He clearly rejects the Targum of course. He says wearing garments, that talks, that's sexual identity. Do things that are specifically male or specifically male, female, that's covered by Tumash. But whether I use a tractor, use a kli, whether I use a gun, that's a kli that I'm using, whether a male, we say, well, it's an aser, a male to use a pressure cooker, because that's a temple. It's an aser, a male to wash dishes, to turn on the dishwasher. Are you going to say that? I could see somebody in their wild imagination saying, yes, yes, yes. It's awesome. Come on, the dishes. Right? So he says that for a woman to drive a tractor is the same halachic issue for a woman to wear a gun. It's a kli. It's a utensil. It's not a garment. I'm not talking about my sexual identity. So he wants me matched. It's clearly rejection of the Targum. Im ha'isha tilbash begadin tzvayim betachgo ekdach ze asu. Ach, yesh losif shetzarich lizkor shegam achrei shemetmodedim al baya yechatit עדיין נשארת הבעיה הערכית, האם נשיאת נשק תפגע בדמות האישה היהודית. אוקיי? Okay? He deals, he says two things here. First he says, if she gets dressed up like a male in army garb, and she wears a gun, you know, that's a problem. But if she's dressed as a woman, and she happens at the gun to protect her, he says, that's not a problem. That doesn't change her sexual identity. He says, but on top of that, however, we have to deal with the whole question, the value question, or whether we want our women walking around carrying guns. That's the more general, the value judgment, okay, which deals with the whole question of women in the army, okay, which is a separate issue which we'll deal with sometime. Yes, did you know something about us?
I think
you said
something
about
the
Let's talk about that. Okay, the army issue, we'll talk about the army. I mean, is he ushering army? No, he's asking a woman to dress up like a man and wear a gun. That's what he means. He's not ushering, is he ushering? No, when he says, if I issue to bash begadim tzvayim tzachgor ekdach, he's talking about dressing up as a man and wearing a gun. Okay, wearing a male garment, that's part of the whole shebang of looking at male, yeah, that's problematic. Where you got to say that? All right, so we will meet, God willing, the first Monday after Pesach. That's it. I'm sorry, for those who weren't here, yes. Next week, next week is happening. We got that, there's this, and then there's Purim, and then there's the. See you after Pesach.